Good morning. Glad to see each of you here and also those taken in on the call. I'd like to repeat those words that were read in the earlier service, Romans about the heart, speaking on the heart this morning. And they were on my mind. I didn't have them written down. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just preparing for this message and seeing, some of you know, my dad is in the hospital again with fluid issues, but also his heart is getting weaker and maybe causing some of these problems. And I didn't realize this. The doctor said our hearts are like about 55% efficient in a young person and in the pumping. And his may be at 30. So it's just a little over half. And if, yeah, any of these things are indication, he's longing to go home and would appreciate prayer for, yeah, all these, the older saints, yeah, longing to go home. The different thoughts that came out was on the heart. I've titled this as heart issues. There's the wicked heart, the deceitful heart, we read in Jeremiah, the clean heart, the broken heart, so, and referring to Psalms there, the contrite heart, the anxious heart, and the man I thought of in Scripture is to be the man after God's own heart. We read that in Acts of David. The verse that I was dwelling on was Proverbs 4:23, and I've got a few different translations of it because it comes out different. The NIV starts off with, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Watch over your heart. This is the New American Standard. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life, is another translation. New Living Translation, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If there's something that directs your life and decisions you're making, it comes from the heart. The King James has it, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's how it came up with the term heart issues. The New King James has different, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's look to the Lord for the blessing of his word. Dear God and Father, we fall on you for your guidance, your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in revealing your word and also directing our lives from your word to come from our heart that is touched by you, regenerated, and in new life in you. So I pray your blessing on the here and for the thoughts to flow fluidly in presenting this message in Jesus' name, amen. After looking at this verse, we came across the Daily Bread had a reading back in September, second last day or so. The human heart is an amazing organ. This fist-sized pumping station weighs about 7 to 15 ounces. So it's about the size of your wrist or fist, and it's a half a pound to about a pound in weight. Daily, it beats around 80 to 100,000 times and pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels in our bodies. Now, we've traveled to the other side of the world. That was about 12,500. So go around the world once, that's 25,000 miles. Go around twice, that's 50,000. Then go to BC and back, you maybe got close to 60,000 miles. It's hard to imagine our hearts doing that. A good heart is doing that every day. It's incredible. So with such a strategic assignment and heavy workload, it's understandable why heart health is central to the well-being of the entire body. The article went on, medical science encourages us to pursue healthy habits because the condition of our heart and the quality of our health go together, hand in hand. And here in Scripture, the heart of another kind that God is addressing here in the Bible is the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the moral center of our being. So this, above all else, in other words, diligence, keep thy heart with diligence. So like in learning on this and studying out on some of the commentary, they come out with thoughts like this. To keep something in this sense means more than simply maintain ownership. Whenever you buy something, if you get a car, you get a property, it takes maintenance. Well, to keep is to guard. There's another word there. Some translations use this word guard. A wise person realizes that temptation is real, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and takes appropriate precaution. So in the Proverbs here, previous to this, Solomon, he advises his son to actively avoid evil and those who practice it. That's the previous verses, Proverbs 4, 14, 15. Scripture places strong emphasis on the heart as a source of good or evil, Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jesus announced, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks, and that's from Luke 6, 45. David, Solomon's father, certainly understood how influential the heart is in how we live out our morals and values. Out of the evil of his heart, he stole Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, and then arranged for Uriah's death when he could not hide his crime. And that's the story from 2 Samuel. And we'll get into 1 Samuel a little bit later here. However, when he was under heavy conviction about his evil deed, David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." What is hidden in the heart is open to God's eyes. And I want to look at 1 Samuel 15:16, the contrast of a couple different hearts. 1 Samuel 16 reminds us that the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So I want to turn to that. 1 Samuel 15. And we'll get into the story of Saul. This is before David becomes king. Chapter 15, verse 3, Samuel comes to King Saul and says, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." This is quite a thing. Destroy everything. It sounds to me like the little town of Ai. That town was dedicated to the Lord. And no, not Ai. I'm sorry. Jericho. And Israel lost the battle at Ai because they had stolen something from God. They had taken, a guy called Achan had taken God's things that were dedicated to him and hid them under his tent, and him and his family all died for that, plus a number of the soldiers of the Israelite army. And this sounds like something like that. And Saul disobeys here. He warns in verse 6, Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites." lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Verse 7, And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. If you read other versions, it would imply he set himself up a statue to himself. And verse 13, And Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And here's the key to our life and obedience in the heart. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. At this point, Saul finally says to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I'll just stop there and go back. There's a dawning to me in rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and that was totally obliterated in the land of Israel. Witchcraft was very strongly put out by Saul, and yet in the end of his life he goes to a witch at Endor. Also, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And idolatry is things that we hold up before God, as in precious stones, as in silver, gold, metal. I'm a mechanic, have lots of tools. I have this sign on my toolbox. I invest in precious metals. Please don't, that was Snap-on. And please don't ask to borrow my tools. No, somebody else put it there, and remarkably, they didn't like what was there underneath that, and it was a verse from the Bible. So somebody paid the parts guy, Snap-on guy, to cover God's word up. And yeah, that's another story how that ended. So I put another one underneath for after death, the judgment. Anyway, we had some, as it were, poking or prodding at each other, but always in love, or try to in love. And another time, I was often working it a minute or two after 10 to 12. The guys would go wash up, and it was a lineup at the wash basin. So you just wait till the lineup is done, and you go a minute or two later. Well, sometimes it was 10 after 12 before you get into a certain technique in your job, and you can't forget where you're at. So you got to stop at a spot that, yep, got all the torques done, and you can quit. Well, I got to the table. We'd sit outside in the summer, and the table is empty. Everyone's gone. And then the parts guy came out, and he says, "Oh, Bert, I see you're eating with all your friends." Yeah, I had none. That was his point. So I just replied, "Yeah, mine are invisible." Yeah, we've got Jesus and angels. Anyway, he got it. But, oops. I think I just knocked off the mic here. It's important to obey the voice of the Lord. And once you know God's command, and we have God's holy word here. Well, I gotta.
You're upside down, Bert.
Oh boy, upside down. That's like the cart before the horse. I lived like that for years. I tried to do my own righteousness for many years. Found out the cart was before the horse. Jesus died for my sin, made me righteous. That's what we talked about this morning. Attained righteous. I was trying to be self-righteous, just like that Pharisee for years. Going on then with the story, we get into the next story. I'd like to get into the next chapter. Saul gets rejected as king, and Samuel mourns over him. 1 Samuel 16, the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. So we notice Samuel does what the Lord says to do. And came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, they looked on Eliab, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, here's another key verse, "Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." So then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him." for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he went and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on, to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the story goes on with Saul being vexed by an evil spirit. And here we have the story of David, that God looked on his heart, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And as we get that, we don't see people's heart. And over the years, there's what is our motive for doing things? As we were compelled to share the gospel to those in the mission field, we have the Word of God, and it's the Holy Bible. Holy means sacred. Bible means writings. And we have the sacred, holy writings. And there was a time in my life I had to look up the word holy to know what holy meant. And we are beneath and have answered to the Lord Sabaoth, which was in one of our readings this morning, the Lord of hosts. The host, the Lord's armies. We can't even imagine how big, how great God is. And so in doing language, they told us, if you don't use a word for about 3 weeks, you're starting to forget it. So it's good for us to be reminded of these words, of the holiness of God, and it's what's the motive of our doing things, and to set goals with how we do things in our life. There's also many verses in Scripture, and I want to turn to an example that we have in the Lord Jesus, and one of them is going to be maybe studied on in the study later on. But we hear the words when Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, we don't find that. There's another verse that I came across in Mark, and it's Jesus speaking. John 8. And looking at John 7, sorry. And I did not write down the verse. Anybody sees it? It's Jesus saying, I do always the things that please my Father. Verse 29. I'll start at verse 28. He's in this, right after the encounter with the woman that was taken in adultery, he shows himself. They all leave. The woman leaves. Jesus asks, woman, or where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11. She says, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What does Jesus say in light of this encounter? The very next word, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We all want life. We get life in the Lord Jesus Christ. This light of the world goes right back to Genesis. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth and said, "Let there be light." That is the Lord Jesus being right there referred to. That light is our ambition. In Indonesian, we'd say samanga. What's your drive when you wake up in the morning? Are you thankful for a good night's sleep? How many things was I thankful for yesterday? Well, if all I could remember today, you see these old people with amnesia or with Alzheimer's, if those are only things I had left today, how much would it be? Our speaker mentioned that last Sunday. Oh, I was convicted by that. How many things have I said, thank you, Lord, for yesterday from my heart? And it's a reminder again, let's thank the Lord for we had the body, his blood that cleanses us, made us right in God's sight. But Jesus gets into this discussion, and he says, verse 28, 29, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and he that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak to these things." Oh, that grated them. Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God here. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as we dwell on the Lord Jesus, he's referred to in the Psalms, and many of us love the Psalms, and there's so much there. Psalm 40, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Similar thought to what we just had with Samuel. Mine ears hast thou opened. That's referring to what someone spoke on a week or two back. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Verse 7, Psalm 40. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And this is a reference of the Lord Jesus. We get that again in Hebrews. Don't know if I have the reference here. I think it's chapter 10. Verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of goats, bulls and of goats, should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh unto the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That's the Lord Jesus. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And going on in Hebrews, want to backtrack a little bit here, that in our life, Hebrews 11, so next chapter on, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we see the Lord Jesus pleasing the Father. Now I want to relate to us. And how is this relevant to us? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God, for he is the rewarder. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then another reference in Hebrews, and then going back to 13. There's many things that please God with our life. And as we endeavor to live out the will of God in thanksgiving, there's in prayer, let your supplication be known unto God. There's verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And then it goes on about obeying those in rule over us. The thought that struck me, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. And sometimes you just read over these English words. And I was born into a Dutch family, godly upbringing. And yet English wasn't my mother tongue or tongue of the heart. My going to school, grade school, learn English. And so the first year or two was learning just straight on English from school. And mom and dad didn't want to have Dutch spoken in the home, conversing. They wanted to learn English, so we heard very little Dutch. I'm not fluent in Dutch anymore. I can understand some of it, like about a five-year-old level. Not very good. But with coming to English, there's a lot of English words that the university level I don't have or never did. So words have become important, and this communicate is to partner, is to share, is to get involved with fellowship. That's included in that word. Let's not forget to do that. Then in relation with one another, husbands, wives, I've got three verses I want to dwell on. 1 Corinthians, and these are very familiar verses, but 1 Corinthians 7, starting at verse 30, 31, 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So this is without cares of the world. Paul is advocating good reason to stay single. But he that is married, verse 33, this is to us as husbands, care for the things that are of the world, that how he may please his wife. So in marriage, and that's God's way, but once you're married, a husband lives to please his wife. Then in verse 34, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So, and the wife lives to please her husband. And then back to verse 32, is how I would have you without carefulness. Paul is referring, he that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So here we have, as in husband, wife, single, and also for children, we read from Ephesians. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there's a joy in living a surrendered life of obedience. It's not easy, and the joy comes from the Lord, not in the circumstance. I want to end with these verses here. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Galatians 2, verse 20. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And also some verses from Romans 8, but 5 to 11, there's a flesh-spirit warfare. It's always going on. And I'll a couple of verses in Galatians 5 that talk about this too. 16, Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do these things that you would. So in our lives, recently I was dwelling on the Lord's Prayer in a hospital service, and it was, the want to close with this, Matthew 6, verse 10, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And part of that is God's will being done through us, living for him. Would like us to close with a song, number 500, Trust and Obey. Number 500. Close with prayer. Dear God and Father, we come to you and can't do any of these things in our own flesh. It is weak and it is utterly deceitful, but you've made us new and given us new life and righteous in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you and praise you for that. We pray your help in those times that are difficult, each moment, each day, that you would enable us by your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that through the Lord Jesus. Amen.